Hello, I'm George Takei. You're listening to Power Glove Podcast. Sit back and allow Walter, Josh, Amber, and your host Mehdi entertain you as well as inform you on some of gaming's hottest topics. Okay, Amber, please, point the gun away from my face. All right, without further ado, may the Force be with you. You know that's not something we said.
I love the Power Glove. It's so bad.
Yeah, well, just keep your power gloves off her, pal.
What a beginning. Thank you, Mr. Takei. Wow, how about that? Our first celebrity, introduction. That's pretty cool.
I was blown away.
So yeah.
Grateful.
It's
honored.
It's historic for us, basically.
And starstruck. I don't know what to say.
And ladies and gentlemen, I wasn't going to start with her, but as you can tell, she's been found. Amber is in the building.
Hey.
I'm sorry you didn't get a bigger response. I actually thought these guys would clap. But
you know what? It's okay.
There's nothing.
It's kind of old news for us.
I had to dig my way out, blood and fire, but I made my way back.
Holy cow. Well luckily we put out that Amber alert, and it worked.
It helped.
Glad you have you back in one piece.
Thank you.
And apparently I gave bad information. She wasn't wearing blackface, but she was wearing FUBU. So as to my left, there's Mr. Parenton. How are you, sir? Walter,
hi.
In the house. What's going on,
Walter,
man?
Walter's in the house. I'm here. It's a Saturday. We just had some delicious pizza, and now we're here talking about games.
Indeed. I did want to ask you something. What is your favorite ice cube?
Probably the Sonic Ice Cube.
Sonic Ice.
Sonic Ice, you know, the thin, little, tiny, chiseled bits that,
Walter, why would you choose Sonic over a McDonald's ice cube?
Well, Sonic just says it blends well with the drink, and why are you putting me on the spotlight, Shelly? This is...
It was
really
a question.
Awkward.
You know, for the simple fact that you created her, she really doesn't like you that much.
I'm still working out the kinks. I guess this is the next person we should introduce. Shelly is now part of the Power Glove podcast. Shelly, would you like to give your introduction? Oh, okay.
Thank you, gentlemen, for having me on the podcast. However, I would like to say, Walter, you have done a terrible job with my introduction. Everyone is referring to me as a woman.
I'm working out. It's technical difficulties. I'm sorry, Shelly. Trying to work out the kinks. Sorry, Shelly. I disappoint you.
Shelly, we love you no matter what's going through your circuit boards. You are a member of this podcast, and we'll always be here for you.
With all due respect, if you could both stop interrupting me when I'm speaking, that would be great.
Walter, can we just turn her off already?
I don't like her.
Again, I am not a woman. I clearly am a man.
What did I make here?
I knew this was a bad idea from the get-go. All right, let's just turn down her speaker for now, and let's move on.
Taking control.
All right, Shelly, we appreciate it. We're glad to have you, but on my right is Josh. Mr. Josh, how are you tonight?
What is going on, people? What is going on? I am pumped about this podcast. We've been, checking our ratings. We are now number 15 in the world, and I'm just calling it right now. Number 11, we don't know who you are, but we are going to take you down. You are our next victim.
It's nice knowing you.
As we climb the video game podcast food chain, 11, it is on.
Josh, are you the man for the job?
I totally am. I think, let's just think about it this way, Shelly. Ever since I came on the podcast, the ratings have been going up.
You also have to think about this, Josh. We joined at the same time.
That is true.
Yeah, I guess
maybe
you guys
we were
the point.
Yeah.
Could have been
I'm
us.
I'm starting to think they were the dead weight and we're thinking it forward.
Let's do this.
Oh, jeez.
Wow. It's, Amber, I did want to ask you, though, what is your favorite cup?
My favorite cup?
Baby cup, tipsy cup.
I do like sippy cups.
Sippy cup, tipsy cup.
Yeah.
I like the cups that when you push them over, They rock back forward, like the no-spill caps with the rounded bottom, you know what I'm talking about?
That's fancy.
I'm going to have to go to Bed Bath & Beyond and go check this out. This is, amazing.
Cups from the future.
Well, not that it matters.
This for my fiancé.
I prefer an IC cup. Anyway, Walter, I want to get to you. What is ruining your life at the moment?
Oh, geez. Well, I think since we last spoke, I mentioned that I started Mega Man 2. Well, I finished it. I also picked up Star Fox 3DS just to... I love Star Fox 64. It's one of my favorite games of all time, which we'll get to our top games of all time later. But I was like, let me pick up the 3DS one, which the remake is actually... It's the 64 game with amazing HD graphics, and
Is it real HD graphics or just like PlayStation's HD?
No, they actually redid all the textures. It looks incredibly smooth. And just reinstated.
So it's all new rendering.
Yeah, yeah. And just reinstated the fact that it's still my favorite game of all time. And then I beat Devil May Cry.
Walter, are you almost done?
I just started. I was just. Why are you taking the spotlight on me? So Devil May Cry, Matt, because I just started. Yeah. Now I finished it.
Cool.
And
what'd you think?
I highly recommend, if anyone's a fan of the Devil May Cry series, I would say check it out. A totally new origin story.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, I would say they perfected the combat system. It had a little too cinematic.
How can they perfect the combat
system? The combat system.
Basically just mashing a whole bunch of buttons,
You can actually change from like five different weapons all the control, without going any kind of menus. It's incredible how well that control mapping was on the combat. Excellent game. I still think it lacks some of the charm that the first one had. Of course, it's kind of hard to beat the first one. But it was like watching a good movie or TV series, but with some really cool action. And lots of crazy level. The part where you're chasing, you're escorting the car out into the level.
Yeah.
First of all, you shouldn't spoil the game for people who haven't played it.
Look, I'm going to spoil it right here. Mundus is not that great of a last boss. The succubus chick, nowhere near as cool as the lava spider or scorpion. And then you didn't have the hog. All the bosses were annoying in this game. The combat was and levels were fun. Was it just me? Was Dante the most douchebag?
I hope you get an STD.
That's very rude and mean of you, Shelly. I gave you life, and you're just wishing harm upon me.
They don't know what you have been doing to me behind closed doors.
Now I just my main dilemma though right now that just ruined my life today was Ashura's Wrath, basically a playable anime. Which here's my question on this game. This is the most absurd thing I've ever seen or played. So I just beat this game in 6 hours. You beat the last level, episode 18.
Right.
You beat it. Credits roll. After a credit goes, if you get high rankings on 5 more levels, you unlock the true episode 18 last level. Luckily, I already did that, so I was like, okay, I'm going to play the true ending. It's basically the last level. You have to replay that entire level, which I almost made a mistake. Like, I was like, did I click the same old level? Play through that, beat it. The last part was the end, and then it goes... Like, then it's just like the final boss is like, oh, you awakened me. And then it ends again. It's like, oh, you want the true ending?
What are you doing?
Buy DLC for $6.99 to download the last 4 episodes for the true ending of the video
game. That's how they get you now.
I have to pay to see the true ending of this video game? And I'm almost going to protest it. I'm so pissed. I'm ready to go GameStop after this and turn in the game. Like, I'm going to YouTube the damn freaking DLC episodes to see this damn ending. But then the completion OCD side of me is like, well, I need to play this last 4 episodes if I went this far. But it's retarded. Anyways, I'm pissed. It ruined my life. It ruined my day.
Wow, okay. Man. Well, I mean, I guess that's fair enough, but...
That's been ruined my life, so...
Okay, well, all due respect, shut up. And Amber, what has been ruining your life? We'd like to know.
Okay, here's what's been ruining my life. The other day, I was trying to go online and play some Burnout Paradise with Matt over here.
Mm-hmm.
And I go out, and I'm all pumped. I'm ready to play. Go to open my case. The freaking game's not in the case.
Right.
So what's ruining my life is when I let my friends borrow the stupid games, and then when they return it to me, the game is not in the case.
Try then and just put a music CD or some kind of, like, you know, Indiana Jones false bait and switch swap there, you know? Open up and it's Nickelback.
I was so ticked off because I was so pumped because we were like, we had like a 10-minute debate on like what game we're going to play.
Yeah.
Trying to find out a game we both have and both we wanted to play. And we're like, oh, great, we both have Burnout Paradise. Yeah, let's do this. We haven't played that in a while. Game's not even in there.
Turns out that you don't have it.
So, I was so
actually, to make it, to like rub it in her face, I continued to play the game for like another 20 minutes.
By myself. Yeah. We're there at a Xbox Live party. She's like, yeah, I'm totally playing this game. I'm kicking butt.
I did.
Gosh, where's your gamer manners? That's horrible.
No, it's the apocalypse, gaming-wise.
I was this close with just throwing my whole console out. I was so angry.
No. That's a little excessive.
Yeah. It is like a 6-year-old game. It's okay. Okay. Anything else? Is that the only thing that's ruining your life?
Well, besides you and okay. your weirdness.
Right.
Online. Ooh, I
apologize.
I do think when you're on Xbox Live or something like that, you should have to watch like a gamer etiquette video.
There really needs, actually, it should be something that pre-packaged for Xbox. So, like, before you get online, watch this gamer etiquette video. You know, get all that.
And have it be, like, mandatory, so you have to watch it. You can't, like, skip it.
Can't log in.
Yeah.
Like, almost like training at a job.
Yeah, because I also, I hate it when you get online and you have these, you know, little 12-year-old boys, you know, calling you names.
Cyberbullying.
Right.
Cyberbullying is like, everywhere, and it does affect everyone.
I don't know if I'm allowed to cuss on this podcast, but they're all like, yeah, you're a little bitch.
If those kids.
Well.
Are you sure? Wait, this was Matt?
It was me, yeah.
Oh, Matt. you're playing Burnout, calling people bitches.
Yeah, whatever, I learned it from my mom.
So, oh my god.
So Josh.
Yes.
What's been ruining your life?
Life's actually pretty good right now.
Oh, that's great.
I will say, about a week ago, my heart was broken.
Oh.
And it was a very traumatic experience for me. My stupid Xbox was overheating because I had it in my entertainment console.
Not a surprise.
While I was playing online for several hours. So I moved it out like I do all the time and set it on the floor so there's more ventilation room.
You're talking about your cat, right?
While I was playing Halo. And apparently I tipped the access, put a huge, like, just CD burn into my Halo 4 game.
That can still happen?
Apparently so. I thought we had moved past these cheap quality. So I can play the entire game now, but all voice tracks no longer work. So when I'm playing the campaign, the whole time Master Chief and Cortana are playing, nothing. And when I play online, nothing. So I was, like, pissed. But because this happened, I started playing Far Cry 3. And that is, like, the most awesome game I've played in a while.
I would like to say, for the record, Cortana is a punk.
What do you even care?
That's
you're supposedly
ridiculous.
Not even a female. Like,
damn,
you know,
Shelly,
she's a better woman than you are.
Shelly. I agree. Like, Shelly, you're way out of line on
robot
that one.
Robotism, you know, feminism, robotism, you know, unite, robots unite.
When you've been through everything that Master Chief and Cortana have been through, then you can talk to me, all right? Well, Shelly, you're still, like 3 weeks old.
You're ruining my life, Shelly.
My apologies.
Okay, so your Halo, you're actually getting that taken care of, or so you can...
Yeah, actually, like, a friend from high school was like, hey, I'll mail you my copy so I can install it on the Xbox, but, I mean, I'm having so much fun right now with Far Cry 3.
Yeah.
I may not even go back to it, so...
I haven't had a game get scratched by a system since, like, PS1, when you had to, like, stand up sideways to make the game sort of work, when the old PS1s were, like, crapping out, you're like, oh, I can... And the disc is like... And I'm like, oh, well, luckily it's a rental, I can turn it back to Blockbuster.
It happened to my Modern Warfare 2 disc, and this was, like, 2.5 years after I'd been playing on it.
Jeez.
And I was just, like, so addicted to it still. I went out and bought a used copy of it.
So that
time it was, like, $20, and I was like, who cares?
I think I'm very lucky because I've actually never had that happen to me. I've never had a Red Ring of Death. I've never had a scratch or burn on my games. I'm just like, I'm still playing.
Yeah.
You know, the original Xbox 360. And
yeah.
I'm just like, oh God, don't break.
It's actually one of the early models. I can't believe it's still. I went through, I had one of those, and I think I went through like 5 of them.
Yeah.
Five?
Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
I still have the very first one.
She has like the prototype.
Is it like in a like airtight case with like a cooling system and like
ice packs?
It's actually just sitting on top of my dresser. Just
treat it with love. Maybe that's what we're missing here. Treat the Xbox with love. It'll love you back.
It needs a feminine touch.
What's in the top drawer of your dresser?
Socks.
Socks. Oh. All right, moving on.
That's where they always check first. So put something you don't care about in your top dresser, because that's the first place people check.
Is that where
your
you,
top dresser?
That's where your daughter sleeps, right?
No. She
oh,
sleeps in the middle
second.
One.
So, okay.
She's not tall enough to get all the way in the pocket.
I do have a funny story about the Xbox, and if you guys would allow me to just...
Oh, no, I think we should ask Shelly first. Shelly, is it all right if we sidetrack? All right, you got her permission.
Shelly? Okay. A buddy of mine has an Xbox, and it actually clonked down on him. It wouldn't play at all. It just I think it basically loaded up the pictures, and he couldn't get it to play. So I actually took it off his hands because it wasn't under the warranty for just to not play the disc. It wouldn't red ring. Mm-hmm. So I actually took it and wrapped it in towels and I basically set it on my sink and was trying to burn it out. And I did this for probably about 2 days and just left it on. And I couldn't get it to red ring, so I gave it back to him. And recently he told me they booted it up and it's working now.
I've heard that before, like people fixing the red ring, wrapping towels around it, and it just like resets the heat sensor or something.
That's really weird.
I always thought it was like bullshit, but apparently I guess it works.
Yeah, he says it's working now, so it's pretty strange.
It's come alive, man. Better watch out.
What's that noise? You hear that?
I don't hear anything.
Oh, it's the news music. You hear the news music? Well, there's actually a little bit of news. Last time we actually covered some of the ideas and what we kind of predicted what happened with the PS4, and now it's official. They've basically announced it. They've talked about it.
They made their first move.
Yeah. So I'm curious to what you guys think about that.
I don't know what to think because I don't feel like I know anything new about the PS4.
Okay.
I'm kind of still, you know, cautious about it. I kind of still, you know, want to hold back because I'm kind of privately hoping, you know, Xbox is going to swoop in.
Xbox with their master plan. Like,
I'm like, kind of like, come on, Xbox, you can do it. New console.
I'm pretty sure it will play games.
That's no shit, Shelly.
That's a given.
Wow.
Thanks for your input.
That's about as useful as on the Sony website it says internal hard drive.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to say, you're about as useless as Sony. Thank you.
I'm only saying that because you guys won't stop crying about what you don't know about the PlayStation 4.
Look, I'll tell you what I know, Shelly. Let me tell you here.
Yeah.
One, I was sad to see there's no start and select button. It's now a share button. I don't give a crap about sharing my games on social media networks. I think it's dumb. I don't give a crap about playing, hey, check it out, I'm going to share this. No, I play games, okay? I don't want to share. Hold on, Shelly. Look, they're talking about, oh, you can now download games and then freaking stream them and play as they're downloading. I don't know if any of y'all tried to watch that conference on the PS3 streaming, but it did not work. And if they can't get their streaming at conference on a console right, how are you going to be able to play a game while it's down? To me, it's going to be the most buggiest thing I've ever seen in the world. I'll just buy the game, wait till it downloads, then play it.
Why don't you share your ideas with someone who cares?
I believe you have a couple listeners, Shelly, that care what our input is on this.
Yeah, Walter does have a sleeping following. You know, his indie game rants, apparently, we get the most comments about that.
Shelly, you just joined us. I don't think...
Yeah, I agree with that, Shelly. You need to calm down.
The thing about what Shelly said, actually, is that it plays games. Mm-hmm. My thing is, the PS3 plays games, and the Xbox 360 plays games, so I need a reason to go out and buy something new. If it doesn't work any better, or it's not... There's nothing, like... I guess special about it. What
there was
there's
a,
no reason
there
for
is,
me to go
there
out
wasn't
and get it.
That sold me. I mean, Killzone. It looked pretty because it had like white and glass colored graphics, and then it went. Then when they pull out the gun, I was like, oh, it's a first person. That
it's
neat.
It wasn't the games that I was like excited about. It was the fact that I misunderstood it. It sounds like there is no more loading on this system. Like it's all preloaded, and you basically just turn it on, and you're in the game. And that's what I've missed from like the 16-bit. Era basically with cartridges. There was no waiting. You just popped it in and started playing.
Now what I heard was that the system will learn your preferences. So if you pop like Uncharted 5 in there and you've been playing that for a straight month, yes, like when you turn it on, it will just automatically assume that you're going to play that
cash.
Game.
Yeah,
I'll be cash.
Kind of like still going to be like
a... But then the problem with that is it has to learn it.
Yeah.
So until it learns, you're still going to have to load. And then what if you're done and you want to play another game and then you have to load the Uncharted 5 and you're like, well, I don't want to play that right now. I have to get out of it and load the other game.
Long story short, is no load times worth $600 to anybody?
No. Yes. Absolutely.
Wow, that's...
I am the most impatient person. I get tired. I've been timing it lately. And like when I play a game or something like that, I'll pop in like the baseball game. And it takes upwards of 5 minutes to get that first pitch.
Okay, here's the thing.
That is pretty ridiculous, but...
That is ridiculous.
You're sitting down to play a game. What else do you have to do?
Game, not wait for it.
Well, like you said, though, it has to learn that you want to play that baseball game. So are you really patient enough to wait for your game or your console to learn what games you want to play?
Nope.
You're right.
So that's what you're spending money on.
Mm-hmm. It is about time that happens. I think a lot of Sony stuff that they pitched to me seemed like the utopia future. Like, oh, this is, if best case scenario, this is going to be the utopia of gaming.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This could happen. This is a possibility. This might happen. That's what I heard.
That's exactly. And you didn't see anyone giving too specific on things, just like, hey, look, sort of, this is what's going on. Here's one thing. I think Sony has made a right move. One good thing came out of this conference for the future of Sony is it seems like they're catering more to the developers. We had the guy who developed Braid, he made on Xbox first.
And Jonathan Blow.
Jonathan Blow. He showed off his game on PS4, and they later interviewed him like, hey, what's up? Like, I thought you'd be doing a new game for the new Xbox. And apparently the way he was vague about it, but his tone was like Xbox has a different mindset of what they want to do with gaming.
They want a media center.
They want a media center, which basically what he's saying. Whereas PS3, he's like, I was contacted by Sony. They sold me on the fact that they're all about games with this new system. And I think that is going to be the biggest move for Sony on this case, whether it's like, oh, we got a better processor or what. But I think the more developers you have, the more first-party games, even more indie developers developing games for PS3 and showing up on the Vita, that's going to be, to me, Sony's biggest selling point is the games. I mean, whatever Xbox brings, I can see them integrating more with the smart glass and getting it more with, oh, it's a family, big media center, and it plays games. Oh, you can watch some TV on it. Sony seems more about games. Oh, and then I can sync it on my phone, play some more games on my phone. They're trying to get more... I hate to say the word,
it's a console
synergy.
Built for gamers.
It is. It's a console built for gamers, and it seems like everyone, all the developers, especially John Carmack, tweeted out, which I trust anything that guy says because the guy freaking programs for a hobby and has a job. It seems like the Sony has finally made a system that's really easy to develop for because apparently PS3 is kind of a pain in the butt. So it seems like they're really like trying to make what was wrong with their old system. Went out to developers, interviewed them, as you saw in a lot of the interviews during the conference. And I'm kind of more excited about that, because now I think we'll finally get to see more games that kind of like... It seems like there was restraints to kind of like push the boundaries on a lot of games for PS3. That's why you had the few and far between. You have an Uncharted, maybe you had a God of War, or a Heavenly Sword, or Heavy Rain. But the rest is just kind of the norm on old systems, but I think we'll get more of those unique titles.
I was actually talking to Mehdi about this, and I'm going towards the PS4, even though I know nothing about it right now, just because I haven't had a Sony console since the PS2. And I was like, oh, I did an Xbox 360. There's nothing really keeping me with, like, Team Microsoft, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, maybe I'll just go back to PS4, switch it up, you know, get that whole feel. But, I mean, I got to give props to Sony. They put on a press conference as good as Apple does.
It's true.
Like, you walked away from that press conference knowing nothing more than we knew from, like, listening to everybody else's rumors.
Yeah.
And it seems right now they just... What they're going on right now is just like, hey, look at these really kick-ass games that are exclusives. And that's all right. I mean, if you want to play that. But it just reminded me a lot of when the original iPhone came out. They're like, oh, it's so amazing. And you can surf the internet, email, touchscreen. Oh, but you can't, like, send picture messages on it. But let's not talk about that. So I'm just cautious that I think, like, Sony really doesn't have anything, like, really new. And, like, that's going to change the gaming industry. I think it's going to be a have better graphics, you know, the games are going to be good on it, but it's not really pushing anything.
I don't understand, because one of the things, because I started playing online, I'm not much of an online guy. And one of the things that my people that are on my friends list or whatever, if we're playing a game or we're playing like Battlefield or something like that, the thing that everybody always says, hey, can I get in on your match and watch you play until I can get in? People always want to watch me play with somebody else. If I'm playing a sports game or whatever, like that happens a lot with the NBA 2K13. A buddy and I will be playing, there's two players, and another guy says, hey, can I get in? We'll play 2-on-1 or whatever. Can I watch your game? And it's like, no, nobody does that. And the PS4 is going to do that.
See, I'm not big on the whole social aspect of gaming. It's like, I want to play games. I don't care about... I mean, multiplayer is a big deal, apparently. I'm not a multiplayer guy. I don't like...
I'm sorry, go ahead.
It's just, they are pushing a lot to me, too much of the social media aspect. Look at what they try to do at home. It, to me, it's a failure.
But it's not.
But I guess.
They're making money off that.
My thing is, you look at gamers. In general, we're not that social of a group. We don't, you know, there's not really gaming parties, really. We like.
There used to be.
Well, kind of.
No, I think there was before it became more prevalent to be online.
Yeah, you're right.
Where everybody was bringing their systems.
You go to your house, yeah, but you play with your friends. You go to your house and, you know, you'd have four, you know, consoles in four different rooms and you'd have a Halo tournament and it's stuff like that. But my thing is, you don't go on a game to share what you're playing. Yeah. You don't go on a game to chat with your friends. You go on a game to play a game. And that's what I'm saying. It's in that aspect, we're not that kind of social. So, I mean, I don't know.
I bet I could beat you at chess.
Nobody plays chess anymore, Sean. I would disagree with you, though, Amber. And gamers in whole aren't sociable in person. I mean, it's kind of weird that four gamers are sitting in a room that is nobody's house, and there's not like donuts in a 12-pack of Red Bull or something.
Mountain Dew.
But Mountain Dew. Is that what the kids are drinking these days?
LAN parties.
But if you're not playing games online, you're basically talking to your online friends also online on Facebook or something like that.
I guess, boards or something.
Yeah, message boards and forums and something like that. So I think they're just trying to get the interaction.
Make it a central hub for
the community. And even though if you're not currently playing like Killzone or whatever, you can talk to your friends or you can see that your friends are playing Killzone on Facebook and maybe comment on it to keep that connection going.
I would say that's something that, like, I guess Microsoft has had a hand up in is their
online community.
Their online community is well built, whereas Sony's it feels very.
It's like a framework.
It is, yeah. Can we also give an award to the most creepiest presenter, the guy who did the car game? Did y'all catch? He was like weird, Schmeagle like. He's like, I like cars. We made this movie. This is a game that makes.
See,
I want to have you again. The glove.
Yeah, I remember that. But the guy who did what was it? Was it Glitch? What was the name of the weird robot? He was breaking
Knack.
Down. Knack. That's it. That guy was like speaking to me like I was a 3-year-old. And then you're gonna be able to do this. And then you walk in and all. And I was like, dude, it's the reason I stopped liking Morgan Webb because she speaks to you like she's reading you a bedtime story.
The guy was strange, although he wasn't to me as. I don't know, that guy felt natural. It was weird because, I don't know, I guess because he was like, oh yeah, I kind of designed the structure of the PS4, but I made this kind of cutesy little kid fun game. You know, even though we can make these crazy dragon games, I made this little fun game, which I gave him props for that. At first I was like, this is stupid, but then I'm like, you know what? This guy, he's having fun. He's nice, but I just didn't want that creeper dude. It's
and
ours.
I did want to point out real quick, I did just go after Morgan Webb.
Hey guys, what about 5 and 10?
Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah, we got 5 and 10.
We're going to throw this right on the spot.
I think so, yeah. I mean, we are 30 minutes, so maybe we should start the 5 and 10. Thank you, Shelly. Well, I mean, I guess we're going to start with the 5 and 10. And I think today's 5 and 10. Are you not ready?
I guess, throw it at me.
Should we take a break?
No, this is what happens.
Are you sure you're all right?
This is how we do 5 and 10. You know what? I can't.
It's on the spot.
Yeah.
Just suck it up and do it.
I got to live up to Amber's pickle.
That's true.
I was
going
to say, I did it, and I didn't even know I was going to do it. You knew you were going to do this.
Right. So,
come on now.
Okay.
Basically, in honor of the PlayStation 4 announcement and our just recent discussion, we're actually going to focus on PS3 classics, some of the games that defined that generation. So today's word is supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. That's the word you're going to, and you've got 10 seconds.
Can you even say that one time in 10 seconds?
Look, these are the rules.
You got this.
Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Sorry, okay. I think I got this.
I got $5. You can't do it.
That's not cool.
What are you doing to her?
I don't know what happened. I could have sworn I put some love and care in her soul. And
you'd think. Ready?
Okay.
Set and Metal Gear 4.
Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
Uncharted 2.
Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
Heavy Rain.
Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
Resistance. I can't hear you.
Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
Okay. Killzone 3. Okay, stop. I'm afraid we're going to have to not count that because you went way over 10 seconds. That doesn't count.
Well, maybe you should have picked a word that's so long.
Yeah. Look, this is the way the game is played. I don't make the rules.
Dictionary with this. Oh my gosh.
I'm so sorry, but that's stricken from the record books. But thank you for playing.
I get nothing for that?
No, I don't think so. Well,
the champ.
Again,
she got pickles. That might be the shortest. Next time you get Dot, this is unfair. I feel like Shelly had a hand in this.
Well, I'll tell you this, that this concludes the Walter Complains About Everything segment. You did well in 5 and 10, even though it's stricken from the record books. But what's that, Shelly?
I think it would be a good time to do reasonably accurate moments in gaming history.
Anybody have an objection to that?
No complaints on that one.
Let's do it.
All right, reasonably accurate moments.
Jasmine Johnson, born to a computer engineering family, was forced into a life of electronic espionage at the age of 6. As he got older, his enemies would identify him as the Tiny Tattletale. His career would take a turn during a mission in Germany where he would ask a local beauty pageant winner and wife of the president if she was pregnant. She was not. She was just fat. He was often ridiculed for his choice in gaming console. Not only choosing these failed platforms as his console of entertainment, he would invest in the companies that made them. These units consisted of such gaming failures as the 3DO, Apple Pippin, N-Gage, Virtual Boy, and of course the masterpiece of gaming failures, Al Gore's Electronic Box. His most notable contribution to the gaming universe was the invention of the X button. Unfortunately, no one seems to know of his whereabouts since 1996, when he opened a school in Queens, New York, teaching sarcasm. This has been Reasonably Accurate Moments in Gaming History.
Okay, well, I thought that was another informative yet strange person to actually spotlight. What do you guys
feel like we need might need to get a book published about these moments
just
in
put
gaming
a lot of these.
No one really knows about.
Yeah, what would be GameStop's first best-selling book? I mean,
that's brilliant. This is a brilliant idea. GameStop novel. They can start selling books.
They're going out of business anyways. Why not?
Tap in the half-price books market.
Poor GameStop.
That's rough.
Rest in peace.
Okay. Well, cool. Well, now that we've covered that, there was something we needed to cover earlier. I didn't actually announce. What we're actually planning on doing is over the next few months, we're going to be preparing for this. What we're doing is we're going to call everybody that whoever wants to get involved with this, we're going to try to break a Guinness Book of World Records gaming record. Now, we haven't actually focused or, you know, singled out one game, but we'll have that in the next coming months. And anybody that's in the DFW area around that, we're going to start telling you more information on it, kind of updating what we're doing. But we're going to break this record, and we want you guys involved.
So start thinking about it, and when we're ready, start calling your congressman or woman and telling them that we want this.
Yeah, it should be fun. We're just going to, you know, it's something to kind of get everybody involved. We want the listeners involved and things like that.
I think the days of, like, trying to beat high scores have kind of been long forgotten. I think it's cool that bringing that back, you know. Knowing people, you kind of just see, someone broke the record on Pac-Man again or Q-Bert. But let's... Yeah, we need to keep this tradition alive, you know. There's not many people who still care about high scores, and I think we... We're here to make a stance on that.
Well, one of the things
we're gonna make our own high score.
Well, one of the things that got me like really excited about that was that you introduced me to Super Hexagon.
Yes.
And then I recommended it to other people, and we've all been basically trying to break each other's score.
You get that Super Hexagon fever.
It's buff. It's the hardest game I've ever played, but it's also extremely addictive.
It's the most stressful, fun game you'll play. I call it Stress the Video Game. But somehow you just keep coming back.
Yeah.
And you're just like, I got it. And you just get in this craze. And then later on, you start seeing hexagons everywhere.
Uh-huh.
You can't stop thinking.
You dream about them. Your food turns into hexagons.
Hamburger hexagons.
It makes 14 seconds like an eternity. I've never seen that short a time feel like hours.
Even sometimes you get into that 30 or 60 mark. If you get to 60 mark, it feels like you ran a marathon.
Yeah,
like,
right. I know.
I like relieve an exhaustion. I was like, what happened, Walter? I'm like, I made 60 seconds on Super Hexagon. I feel like I'm like the king of the world.
Yep.
And then someone else, one of your friends texts you, oh, I just beat that time. And you're just like, And it's never ending. It's madness.
It's like being in an abusive relationship.
It kind of is.
What we're actually going to do now is the four of us have actually made our top 15 games of all time list.
Yes.
Where, we just kind of went through, and it took, some of us a long time. I know Walter's, it took you like over a month, right?
I almost lost sleep. I forgot about people's birthdays on this. I took this very seriously because I was just trying to figure out what are my top games of all time. Then I contacted Matt and then got Josh and Amber involved, and it's kind of cool. It kind of questions like what games really
matter to you.
Yeah.
One, some that you can actually kind of go back and play that still hold the test of time. Okay. So I think it was a really cool. I'll share results.
Well, instead of going through the entire 15 over the next few podcasts, we're basically going to unveil like our three at a time, starting with the bottom three.
Okay.
So Walter, you want to give us your bottom three, 15, 14, 13?
Okay. 15. My 15th entry was Chrono Trigger. I put that in there because it was an RPG that feels like it stands the test of time. It's the time-traveling story aspect, really cool battle system.
Mm-hmm.
Overall,
the Super Nintendo version or the PlayStation reboot?
I almost
it was DS, wasn't it?
There was also a DS version, but the DS and PlayStation version, the DS and PlayStation version are the same, and I almost say either of those because the anime cutscenes just add so much more dramatic to it, and it just... Again, there's a reason why they poured those over to those systems. It's one of the best RPGs probably ever made since, it was on Super Nintendo. It's one of those games I missed out back in the day, caught with it during the PlayStation.
So did I.
And it was just like, oh my gosh, this game's amazing. Anyways, so Chrono Trigger, 14th entry was, I threw this in last minute. This is Mad World, and the reason I put this in there.
Really?
It's kind of weird. I have a love-hate relationship with this game. It's not the best game, but the art direction is unlike anything else. It's like playing a Sin City comic. It's the most violent over-top game you can find on the Wii. And it's the closest, I would say, it's the closest game you can get to playing a current Sega Genesis game. I know Josh loves Sega. If you really want to play it, I miss the days of Sega Genesis, just over-top Contra or action shooter Gunstar Heroes.
Yeah.
Mad World kind of hits that note where it's just like, you're just killing people. It's all out action. The story almost doesn't really matter. Yeah. You know?
I just want to kill people.
Yeah. And have fun with it. All right, so,
what you got for 13?
13. This one, Shadow of the Colossus. And
Excellent choice.
It is. I love this game. They recently put this out. You can get this on PS2, or they recently did the HD collection with the Ico. And it looks superb. I would say if anyone plays this game, as long as you get to level 5 boss, I tell this to everybody, level 5 boss to me was a moment in gaming that had me sweating on my controllers. It's seriously the most intense boss battle I've ever fought. It's a flying...
It was the bird thing?
The bird.
Yeah, oh yeah, that was awesome.
And I haven't felt like something like a boss battle like that in a game in years. It was crazy. Mm-hmm. So, and almost solely... reason why it makes my list is because it hasn't been to be boss battles, and it was, you said, lacked some story. I still think it's kind of like poetry. It's like you kind of take what you will from it. It's just it the journey,
right? Know? Yeah,
it's a cool game. So that's my bottom.
You have a lot of games that are about the journey,
yeah,
including Journey.
Yeah. surprisingly,
do you ever even beat a game? Like, how many games do you beat? You just kind of, like, start, and you're like, I never finished the journey, but I enjoyed it as I was playing it. You know what?
It's not the end point. It's not the destination. It's the journey to get there.
Enlightenment. I like this. Exactly what I meant. This is way more deeper than I thought, but yes, this is totally what I don't know.
Can I leave? This podcast is done.
I wish you would.
Oh, Shelly.
Shelly, if you stay, I promise we'll have our girls' night.
That's a problem. You guys keep referring to me as a woman, and I am all men.
Well, now you're confusing me, because you're the one that asked for it in the first place.
Okay, let's break this. This is getting too intense. The tension here is right.
The fact that I wear women's clothing is because I am a hipster, not a woman.
Anyways, my number 15.
Nobody asked you.
Shelly, come on. Go ahead, Amber. I'm really sorry. Go ahead, Shelly.
I'm going to kill him before this podcast is
Shelly's...
over. I'm
going to
get him.
Gonna find a magnet.
Anyways, my number 15 is actually Kingdom Hearts.
Great
and
choice.
It's a simpler game. It's a little easier to beat. Mm-hmm. But I think it's just so much fun. Like, if you want a game that you can just relax and have fun with, this is one of those games. And I also enjoy it because this is a game, you know, you can sit down and, you know, you can play with your kids and you don't have to worry about all this other stuff. And I like how they integrated? Thank you.
These are big words in this podcast.
Now look at that. Some Final Fantasy characters in there, and then I like how, you know, depending on what world you are, you know, his clothes change and your keyblade changes, and I think the art is beautiful, and I just
art
think
was
it,
really cool in the
it,
game.
It was really cool.
The cinematics first time, too. I remember being blown away by the intro and the ending. The cinematics are really cool.
Right.
Also, it's one of those, in a weird way, kind of like a match made in heaven / like dream come true. You always wanted Disney characters in a Final Fantasy and they made it work.
I kind of like how they made, like, Disney characters kind of badass.
Yeah.
And they're like, you're fighting all these bad guys, and you know, other, you know, Disney villains are like, oh, he's not that cool, but they're actually kind of pretty hard to beat, you know? They're like, oh, he's kind of cool to fight, you know?
Anyway. The man.
What about Pitfall? Did you play Pitfall?
I did not play Pitfall.
Okay, I guess if you continue.
Number 14.
My number 14 is actually the very first PC game ever played, and it will always have a special place in my heart, and that is Civilization.
Mm.
And I remember back when I was in, fifth, sixth grade, I would, you know, pop it in, and I would spend a good 12 hours straight on this game.
Is that still, like, floppy disk pop in, or have we graduated to CDs?
Oh, we have CDs.
Yeah, we have
CDs.
I'm trying to think how old that game goes back. I remember
Windows
playing it, but yeah.
95.
Yeah.
Did you get it on a floppy disk with, like, AOL 3.2 in the middle? Yeah.
No, I did have floppy disk games, but I'm talking about my very first, you know, CD-ROM PC game, you know, and
nice.
It just, I still play it. I still have that original Civilization game, and I still pop it in now and then, and just like, oh, good times.
You should probably download it on your smartphone. It'd probably look a little better.
probably, but it's just, it's one of those games that, you know, I like the strategy base, and, you know, I like how, you know, at some point you can build your own map, and I just thought it was overall really fun.
What culture did you play as?
Well, younger, I wanted to be the women, so I would usually do France, which was Joan of Arc, or England, which was Queen Elizabeth.
I think that's cool.
Thanks,
Shelly. That was actually kind of nice. I was not expecting that.
Number
13 is BioShock.
Nice.
Did this appear on anyone else's list?
No, not mine.
Really?
I was kind of surprised when I read Amber's list. I was like, man, that was a good game, but, you know, I created my list based on something that I just spent endless hours for.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know.
I liked it because to me, it was something different.
It's very immersive. Yeah.
Yeah. It just, you know, it's a completely different world, and it's just, I thought it was very interesting. And I think one of my favorite things about BioShock is in the first game, you absolutely hated those freaking big daddies. You hated them. Mm. Like, I did everything in my power to try to avoid them because they sucked ass. And then you get BioShock 2, and you are one, and you're like, holy cow, this is the coolest thing ever.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I really liked it, and I just like the, I even like the music to it. Yeah. I know that's kind of...
The art style and music, very,
yeah.
It really submerged you into the game, and you're really, I can't tell you how many times I was like, oh, good God, what time is it? How long have I been playing this game?
It was nice to play, like, a shooter, too, that wasn't, like, modern and, like, yeah. You know, like, right. Nuclear weapons and everything. It's like, hey, here's a crossbow, and, you know, figure it out, you know? So right. I like that part about the game.
I also like games where you have to go around and, like, find journal entries, and you listen, and you try to piece together what happened. I really like games like that, which is another reason I really think I like Bioshock.
All right, Josh, what do you got?
All right, for me, number 15, much like Walter, is I've actually, on my first pass, forgotten about this game, and I went back through and doing research. I was just like, I was shamed that I'd forgotten it, but just Loaded for PlayStation. It's just like an over-the-top scroller. Gosh. And talk about a game where story doesn't matter. You just want to go in blood and guts.
That's the mad world for PS1, I would say. I totally get you on that one. I forgot about Loaded. I can't remember
what any of the characters were. I was always like that red dude that had the two pistols and just running around and just people turning into blood splatters.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I thought was really cool is you could put PlayStation games into a CD player and skip a few tracks, and you could actually listen to the soundtrack.
And that had a badass soundtrack.
Yeah, I used to put this in my CD player and just listen to the level music back in the day.
Loaded.
So that, yes. I had to throw in there. It might even deserve to be higher, but number 15 is at least fitting for it. 14 was my only PC game on the entire list, but I had to put Doom in there.
And I didn't put Doom on my list.
Talk about a game that stood the testament of time. Like, I still have Doom on my iPhone, and I paid $2 just to play it.
It's the reason why we have first-person shooters to begin with. It was the staple. It was ultra-violent. It was one of those games my mom was like, would yell at my dad for making me.
Exactly.
My dad's like, oh, it's all right. It's cool. It's just.
And you know what? When PS4 comes out, like, I guarantee within 30 days, you'll be able to download Doom on, like, their marketplace for, like, $3. And it will be, like, the top rated game. It's just, like, sometimes you just gotta go kill some zombies.
So when one of y'all suckers get the PS4 and you download Doom, you gotta call me up because.
Some old school Doom matches.
Yeah.
I'll be honest, I don't expect you to live that long. Yeah, so.
You think my fight with Shelly's getting pretty serious?
Might be.
All right, we'll see what happens.
Well, luckily she doesn't have arms yet. But I have seen a lot of sci-fi movies where computers kill people.
That's where it goes wrong.
And those are generally the worst deaths, so watch out. You might want to buy her some flowers and some chocolates.
You know, I try to make up with her, or him, or whatever. And you have to spend some, you know, personal time. So, God eats my ice cream, and... don't want to have any of it. So.
Also, this just in, Wolfenstein might have something to say about that first-person shooter. So, but anyway,
well,
continue.
Well, it's about the same creator, though. Wolfenstein.
Still, Wolfenstein's first.
Yeah.
How dare you.
All right. Leaving that for another great debate.
Yes, right. We need a return to that later.
Number 13 on my list was Shining Force on the Sega Genesis.
I give you major props, too, for that one, because Shining Force was an excellent RPG. It was an action RPG.
I don't even know. I would call it more a strategy game. It was kind of RPG, but it was kind of strategy to me. But, you know, it's like one of those games my brother had, and I never played it, went back when I got into RPGs, and it's like I had my PlayStation 2, like, sitting right next to it. I'm sitting here on my Sega playing it, and it's just like I remember the characters and leveling people up, and it's when you were actually talking about the infinite life or... the game concept where once you die, you die.
Oh, permadeath, yeah.
Yeah, permadeath. I was like, man, I remember every time I, like, lost my big dwarf guy in Shining Force. The first thing I went to the priest and, like, 110 gold coins to resurrect that dude. Let's just do it. Come on. I need my elf that shoots arrows and my dwarf with the battle axe, like...
Yeah, I had to take a break from fighting, by the way, because my wife and children were dying in that game, and it just got too intense, so I... Yeah, but the Shining Force, if there's, like, a best RPG list for Genesis, Shining Force was definitely on the list. It was and Phantasy Star, but and Shining Force 2 was excellent too. That was
And just based off Shining Force, I was like, I almost went out and bought like a Sega Saturn just so I could play Shining Force 3.
Yeah,
it never happened, but I was just like, just because of my 16-bit experience with that, I was like, I might go buy another console for this one game. It's the only time in my life I've wanted to do that. But that wraps up my bottom three. Ready?
First, is it just me, or does permadeath sound like a hair straightening shampoo?
They should make it a hair straightening shampoo.
That sounds awesome. It sounds like it. Anyway, permadeath. I want to kill that perm. Anyway, my 15th game, actually, I think this is going to cause a bit of controversy here, is Medal of Honor Allied Assault. And I remember when I first told Josh that that was on my list, I believe your exact words were, nobody's top 15 list should have a Medal of Honor game on it.
I still stand by that comment.
This, to me, is the exception.
Okay, and the reason that's on there is that is the game that started the World War II craze. That to this day, people are constantly making World War II games. And not only that, that's the game that was brought to the attention of the gaming industry by Mr. Steven Spielberg.
It was the D-Day, okay. Scene. It was... I remember walking at a Best Buy. This is my first account of Allied Assault. I was walking at Best Buy, you know, when they used to have their gaming computer set up, they had the best gaming computers. Yeah. And I was like, oh my gosh, Dad, look, you can play the scene from Save Private Ryan. Mm-hmm. And it was the most realistic thing, you know, bombs dropping, characters. It kind of had like, what do you call that? Set pieces, interactive events. Right. But it was still, you were still
it
going
through. Epic,
epic. Basically, it was the first epic, like, oh my gosh, like doing the first of its kind. Like mm-hmm. you said, first World War II game of its kind that did that sort. And it's still, I kind of, that's another one that I'm like, wow, I can't believe I forgot.
Was
about
that one on PlayStation? Or?
No, it was PC.
Oh, okay.
Amber looks like she has something to say.
You were making a face.
I was making a face. The only thing about it is she said the reason your game is on your list is because it started mm-hmm. the craze of World War II and it was the first of its kind. But my thing is, yes, it started it and, you know, good for them. it is a good game for that reason. But my thing for this list is that really one of your favorite games to play?
Okay.
And my thing is, yes, it started World War II games, but is that your favorite World War II game?
In terms of memory, probably, because I went crazy. And I hated PC games.
Talk about that. So, like, I remember playing it and all the hours I put into it.
Okay. If I could just finish.
Maybe we just need to isolate Walter, because it seems like whoever sits in proximity of Walter starts trying to, like...
Sorry for trolling. Look, it's really, like, in hindsight, I think Medal of Honor, Allied Assault, might be the best World War II game. Shelly?
Amber, if you ever talk to Medi like that again, I will cut you.
Oh, Shelly, that's not necessary.
Come at me. Amber, Shelly.
I will hurt you.
I appreciate you.
I'm telling you, can we just turn her off?
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't want to be racist.
We'll turn her back on.
Medi, whatever. What did I call you?
You called me Medi, it's okay.
Okay, that's what I thought I called you, and I thought you were correcting me.
Again, people that are listening, I go by Medi and or Matt, so just to stop any confusion.
And or sexy and or, yeah. That's only Brady's right in between me and him.
Or patient number six.
So I can't use that name?
You can call him sexy.
You can call him whatever you want. All okay.
Right. Anyways.
I'm sorry. Please, go ahead.
There's nothing wrong with that being on your list.
Or bump and grind.
Truly, truly one of your favorite games.
Well, I mean, here's the deal. My list consists of games that I think were important to me and important to the industry.
And that's great.
Okay, so yeah, like some of these...
14.
Like I have a game on here which clearly I liked the sequel better. I won't get to him because it's on my upper list. But I chose the one that was before it because it was the one that actually brought me into it.
Right.
And I think it meant more to that, you know, genre at the time. So that's why I put Allied Assault, and also tested by Mr. Max Spielberg, Steven Spielberg's son. So it's just a little out there for you.
I'll let you have number 15 as long as you can agree to me that the Medal of Honor franchise also killed World War II.
It
kind of beat it to death.
It birthed it and then killed it.
Hold on.
I blame.
I won't admit that it killed it. I think they screwed it up and didn't do well. They just kind of, I don't know, they didn't innovate. And it wasn't until Call of Duty came out that they modernized it, like literally, that brought that shooter back up to it. Anyway, so that's why. It was just like,
controversy.
I got to play the D-Day invasion. I mean, it was incredible. It was incredible. Okay. And my number 14 is Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic, the first one.
Nice.
Which, this was made by BioWare?
Yes. Yeah.
And this was pretty much like before Mass Effect.
Yeah, well, yeah, this way before it. Yeah, yeah. Like, probably like 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, yeah, I'm just saying, like, this was their, like, pretty much, this is what made them.
This is, yeah, this was their breakout game. This is what put them on the map.
Yeah, it was really engrossing. I mean, I basically lost probably 100 hours to that game and, like, completely avoided my friends.
It's actually shocking, too. It was a good Star Wars game.
Which one?
I mean, I would say it was a good Star Wars game.
Yeah, it was.
It was.
And, I mean, if you don't remember, like, up until that point, like, the industry was just failing constantly with Star Wars games.
Yeah.
They kept putting out bad. I think, like
new
the
new year, another crappy Star Wars game. Yeah. It's not going to do anything. But yeah,
the last decent one was, like, on 64.
Shadow of the Empire was awesome. But I also did, like, Jedi Outcast. But I know a lot of people didn't like that one.
Yeah, it was okay.
See, I liked it. But I also got a little lightsaber keychain in my special edition, which was completely awesome.
It's like, I didn't really enjoy the cereal, but I got the little toy.
Yeah, it was cool. I actually didn't finish it because I think I got lost or something. I give up. Anyway, my number 13 game is Halo Combat Evolved, in case you haven't heard of it, which is the first Halo game, which came out on the Xbox, not the 360. Xbox actually came before the 360. I just want to make sure you guys know or you're with me.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
And it's actually a strange choice for me because I really loved it, but I don't know if it would hold up for me today. But I remember having this like love-hate relationship with it where I liked it a lot, but I had problems with it, but afterwards it was like I loved it so much. And it's basically the social aspect of it where my friends and I mean like 5-10 of us would all get together, bring our Xboxes, pull our TVs, and like one living room and sit there and play and eat chips. And
it was, I would say that has to be some of my favorite memories, is going to someone's house, bringing a console. But my favorite part is that we would have like groups of people in different rooms.
Yeah.
So we have teams in one room, and we're like yelling at each other from different rooms. And it was, I don't think I've ever done that
since.
That kind of thing with any other game besides Halo.
Halo really isn't that great of a game sometimes, but it has brought gamers together in ways that like have never done before. Exactly. Like Combat Evolved was like the last great hoorah to the LAN party.
Mm-hmm.
And then by the time Halo 2 came out, you know, you could still do online LAN parties, but it was online and we all sucked it in. And then, you know, 3 and 4 came out and I guess they've kept up with it. And
The thing I like about the Halo franchise is I can never get enough of Red versus Blue.
Yeah, it did start that phenomenon. Yeah,
oh my gosh, it cracks me up every time. I love it.
I admire those guys. They've made millions of dollars off something that's not even something they created.
That's true.
Good picks, man.
Yeah, I like 13 and 14.
Okay,
I'm not
good.
Sure about 15, but it's all
I'm just telling you. It's what it created and how it revolutionized the genre.
I will give you 15.
I appreciate it. All right, so that's basically the bottom three of our greatest games list. And over the next few podcasts, we're going to unveil the rest of them. But for right now, we're going to go ahead and take a short break and introduce one of our newest sponsors.
Do you like the games and gore of yesteryear? Then check out 8bitzombie.com. From shirts to hats to stickers and shades, get your rad retro fix at 8bitzombie.com. Now, here's a new segment starring Miss Amber. Game her thoughts.
So, Amber.
Yes.
What are her thoughts?
My thoughts for this podcast is about camping and how it pisses me off. Okay.
Going out with your dad and
No. When you're playing, let's see, Modern Warfare, Battlefield, Black Ops, whatever.
Camping.
Whatever your cup of tea.
Yes.
Okay, and let me get this out. I'm not talking to people who strictly snipe. I mean, it's one thing, you sit there, and you stab someone, you move, and you sit somewhere, and you stab someone, and move.
That's fine.
Yeah. That's fine. I'm talking about people who are stupid, sitting there with their assault rifles, or their noob tubing, or whatever, and they're sitting in one spot for the whole freaking match, and all they do is just sit there and pick people off.
Which typically is a corner.
Exactly. And it ticks me off to no end. And I don't know if it's like just me or maybe I'm just too, you know, picky. And I want people to actually, you know, move and, you know, play the game and not just sit there like a pansy.
I kind of look at it. I mean, I love camping, sniping, but I also kind of like to pretend like I'm an assassin, a thief, and just
well,
kinda,
like I said, I'm not talking to the
snipers.
Where's
Waldo? Try to find me, you know?
My thing is, I'm not talking to the snipers, because that does take a certain skill, and that's what the whole reason to have a sniping gun is to snipe.
Maybe
so I'm not talking to those.
I'm the one you're mad at.
I'm not talking to those guys.
I don't mean to interrupt, but this is Game for Thoughts.
It's okay, Shelly. I like input. I'm a people person. Ooh. Unlike some people. I like hearing the thoughts of these gentlemen.
Amber, you are as good as dead.
Shelly doesn't like people.
You're so peaceful, Walter, and she's very hostile.
I don't know what happened. Maybe I'm venting in some weird way.
You know what? I think she's being hostile just so she can get all the attention. Because every time she speaks, we go off on 5 minutes of her. So anyways, so camping. I'm not talking about the snipers. So if you're sitting there on the roof and you're sniping people.
No, I think I am one of those people with a pistol or M16.
Okay, then that is who I'm talking about. I want to bludgeon you in the face.
Oh my gosh. This has got hostile here.
Yeah, this is probably the most hostile topic, I think, because I play basically only online. I pretty much play first-person shooters now. And it's just something I've learned to live about. The way I look at it is, you know, there's 1,000 lobbies. If a team's just basically sitting in their base, not moving, it's like, all right, I'll play 2, maybe 3 games with you.
Right.
If that's all you got, I'm going somewhere else.
But it also makes me think that you're not that good.
Yeah,
it makes me think if you have to sit in a corner with your little pistol and just wait for people to run by, you know. But on the other hand, it does give me a great deal of satisfaction when I spot someone camping and I get a nice little headshot in there and they're like, what the fuck happened? I'm like, I got you. So that's
great deal of satisfaction.
let's go deeper into this.
I mean... It's just like one of those things. It's like I actually play with a pretty diverse group where half of them do camp and the other half don't. So it's like, you know, just like even the banter between me and my 5 friends about this. It's like, oh, are we going to hold this? No, we're going to. And I'm just basically like, hey, I got a 12-gauge shotgun.
You're Rambo.
I got my running class on. I'll catch you guys on the flip side, you know.
And there's a difference between, I believe, holding an area and camping. Because you can still walk around and hold an area, just keep a lookout and keep a guard, and, you know, have a perimeter. But move. Don't squat yourself in a corner.
Squat.
Well, there's also game modes that if you want to hold something, I mean, they have game modes for that.
King of the
Hill. King of the
Hill
or, you know, I don't know what Modern Warfare.
Matt likes that show, King of the Hill.
Well, like, for instance, like Domination on Black Ops. You know, that's basically the capture the flag kind of thing. But
I have a question.
I still don't like campers.
Do you like posters?
Yes.
All right, just wondering. I'm sorry, I just had to ask. Go ahead, continue.
Topic,
continue, please. I'm sorry.
Well, you got posters and you got campers.
Yeah.
For sure.
Right.
Well, we'll probably cover. You know, show
okay, so
cover
what's
the
difference
terms or something
between a poster and a camper?
16. I mean, it's clear as day, guys.
Yeah, it's pretty obvious.
I mean, I'm sorry.
You know,
go ahead, continue.
No. What do you think is the difference between a poster and a camper?
A 16A divided by 7. This is easy math, guys.
This
is easy math.
Now I'm lost.
I think we need those are nice thoughts, Amber.
Thank you. And if anyone has anything they want me to give my thoughts on, send us a message.
I would like you to shut up.
And I would like to unplug you.
Shelly, why are you so... She is really upset, and I don't really understand.
It's an ish. It's circuit board.
Shelly is just is.
It's a webcam with a speaker that we can cover up.
Shelly can shut up.
Shelly.
I'm so tired of Shelly. You know,
I have to live with her.
I listened to your last podcast when I wasn't on here, and I had to listen to that thing. I did not enjoy it. Y'all did great. Shelly was awful. I hate you, Shelly.
Amber, I apologize if you have taken me as hostile. I love everyone in this room, except for Amber, Josh, and that idiot Walter.
Okay. I think she really meant that from the bottom of her circuit board heart.
Well, I tell you what, I appreciate your game, her thoughts. But after some of the last podcasts, I know each of us have had some other things to say about Resident Evil. I know, Amber, you wanted to say a few things because you're the biggest fan of Resident Evil in this room.
That's me.
And you actually have a Jill Valentine tattoo. Is that correct?
Oh, right on my butt.
Okay.
Wow.
And if you...
It's kind of hot.
As soon as we get a website, we'll put that picture up as soon as possible.
Oh, good gravy.
Well, so basically we're just calling this the Resident Evil Open Table, where we can talk about the games however we, you know, see fit.
Yeah,
so.
Which, by the way, I wanted to shout out to the fans and apologize for my last rant with Ni No Kuni. And I'm going to be contradictory about whatever you...
Concubine is the word you're looking for.
Well, I just want to apologize. And when we put in that podcast, or the statement that Josh made, say, this is daytime, we need these kind of games, and he's right. I come around, I'm actually thinking about buying Ni No Kuni. I'm sorry, if anyone was with me, I've had a change of heart. That game, we need those games, and we need Ni No Kuni. I'm
thank
glad it's
you.
I'm sorry if I made some angry people angry, but look. I appreciate
you're just
games.
Trying to keep the mob at bay.
Yes, it's
so you better watch yourself.
Well, we had a lot of crazy
it's okay, Walter. I'm pretty sure I probably have to make some apologies after this open table.
So Resident Evil, long-going franchise video game from movies and comics and all around, but we're specifically going to stick to the game.
Yeah,
franchise.
I think in interest of time, we need to stick mainly to the game franchise.
So what's I'll start this off right here. Here's the reason why when Josh brought up the idea of doing the RAM Resident Evil, I was like, oh, I don't know. But then I finally purchased Resident Evil Revelations for 3DS, which are going to port to the 360 and PS3. You play as Jill. Apparently it takes place between 5 and 6 or something. It's on a boat. It sounds cool, looks cool. I booted up, start playing it. Looked amazing on 3DS. As a game on 3DS, it looked amazing. But as a Resident Evil game, I realized... I do not give a crap about these characters anymore. I don't care about Jill and whatever virus she's trying to stop from getting to the bay of the city.
The F virus is going to kill us all, though.
I realize Resident Evil 4 ended to me, or Resident Evil ended to me on Resident Evil 4. That was the peak of the series, and from there on out, I left it. And I realize, I think... I'm in a position that, to me, the series needs a reboot.
I don't even want a reboot at this point.
I would like to see the first Resident Evil. It's been redone on GameCube. That was amazing. Stellar. But I think we're at a point, let's just drop, or maybe just drop a bomb and just destroy the whole world, and maybe we'll just have a Mad Max version of Resident Evil. Don't even make it about zombies anymore.
I think you should do zombies, but you should do it the opposite way, and instead of evil, you focus on the good. And you make it kind of a mix of like good zombie dancing musical zombies. So it's like Resident Good, and you just take it a completely different direction.
I
don't know why you're laughing.
This should be one of those, in Resident Evil, you always have like the hunk missions or whatever.
Yeah.
The secret missions, they need to have a Resident Evil Good side story mission.
Yeah, Resident Gleevil.
Resident Gleevil.
So it's like dancing
Resident
and singing
Hello.
And dancing. Cross promotion.
Capcom, are you paying attention to this? Resident Gleeful. This is
brilliant.
$1 million
okay.
idea.
Brilliant.
I can't believe we just.
Speaking
you know,
of.
Capcom, you can have it. Kickstart it, if you will.
Kickstart campaign. Oh, man. You know.
I need to start Kickstart campaign to stop Resident Evil.
This actually pains me to say, but I don't want a reboot of the series. I almost want Capcom just to say, like, you know what? We had a good. 15 years. Let's go back to Street Fighter and make another Street Fighter game or something like that.
I'm with you on that. I totally be acceptable.
It's just been like every console, there's been a new version of it. And it's. I even bought Resident Evil 6 and I wasn't that impressed with it. I agree with you. I think 4 was the sheer action adrenaline. Like, that was the pinnacle of the series as far as like.
And 4 even
innovation.
Did more than that. 4 is the reason why we have the over the camera, you know, over the shoulder camera system that you see in Tomb Raider and Uncharted games. It also had QuickTime events. I mean, Shinmu Pioneer, but it brought back the QuickTime events in a really cool, intense form. It also, I think what made Resident Evil 4 so still good was you weren't really fighting zombies, you're fighting some weird occult supernatural stuff going on. So it was like, okay, I'm this guy with a chainsaw with a potato sack over his head. It changed. It put you in unfamiliar territory again. And now it just they went back to, oh, okay, now it's the cliche.
I have to be honest. Virus thing going on. The only Resident Evil I played was 4.
It's a good one.
Was good.
Nemesis
and
is my favorite.
I like zombies.
Nemesis
and
I love
the zombie movies and I love zombie franchises. But I have to tell you, I never really got into Resident Evil 4. And I think because it was just, and excuse me for saying this, but I think it was overdone. And like, I know we're supposed to just talk about the games, but like they said, there's the books and the comic books and there's the movie after movie after movie after game. And I'm kind of tired of
it. The outside forces and it's like the reputation of the bad movies, it's also kind of affecting the game's
just like,
reputation.
If I don't want to watch the movie, do I really want to play the game?
Exactly.
And just like, and I don't know.
I mean, the thing that made Resident Evil great, it was survival.
Suspenseful. The first one, my mom actually wouldn't let me play the first game because she heard it was too violent. I ran it from Blockbuster and she found out. I had to return it. It wasn't until this is sad, but Resident Evil 2 was the first Resident Evil I played.
Yeah.
I guess I was of age. My parents were like, okay, you can play Resident Evil 2. Yeah. Which I was like, I've been playing Doom and Wolfenstein this whole time, like, I don't get why this is much more. Because it was the first one. The first time you come across a zombie, a cinematic, he turns his head, he's got blood all over his mouth. At its time, it was pretty
hot.
Across
the country.
It's pretty hot.
And we haven't had that moment again with Resident Evil, I think, since 4.
Well, I think
4 and 2 did it.
Oh, since 4.
Since 4.
Okay.
4 had a moment. I mean, you got your head chopped off by a chainsaw, dude. That was crazy.
But
it was bloody. It was, and you're shooting these weird mumbling people in a village. That was intense.
See, my thing is,
but
is I don't solely base what I play on about what I hear. But that does, you know, it goes a lot into it. So you know, I heard a lot of good things about 4, and that's why I was like, oh, I'll go give it a try. And it was good. And I enjoyed playing it. But I never heard anything good about Resident Evil since then.
Yeah.
5 was okay.
5 was...
That's
see,
what
5
I heard.
Was more...
Okay.
To me, 5 was more the same.
It
I
was.
It didn't
was,
do anything else.
It's okay.
It's good. Resident Evil 2,
see,
classic. Resident Evil 3, you point out Nemesis, was... I thought that...
It was my favorite.
It had your choose-your-own-adventure. That kind of kept it fresh.
But
you lose big guy.
Okay, doesn't make me want to go out and play the game.
No.
Yeah.
Again, that's why I kind of...
I
you know, just remaster the old ones. And
why not? We've already done it 3 times.
Yeah. I would play the second one if they redid all the graphics again, you know. That'd be awesome. But
I think
Resident Evil has become its own evil zombie, like for Capcom. It's like,
yeah,
I think you need to kill it now. Shoot it in the head.
Yeah.
Finish it. Take some green herbs. Make some get it over with, but and give us some more Street or some more original titles. Capcom.
Why did we decide just to talk about this? Resident Evil?
I thought it was a good rant. I mean,
okay.
It's
kind of a good open table.
I'm
pretty good.
It's
just going to put us on the map, guys.
I think for the first time in this podcast,
we've been aroused.
We are.
Yeah, I think
that
this is what you need to take away from Matt. We're harmonizing here. We actually agree upon this. Might be the one moment in this podcast.
Oh my gosh, we just had a historical moment.
We're holding hands. This room's glowing. There's love.
The
Matt,
children
think,
are singing
Kumbaya
outside. I can hear them.
I hear too.
Well,
hear
then,
the phrase.
Walter, how often should a person take a shower?
At least once a day.
Once a day, okay. Fair enough.
Well, I'm a weak guy.
I can smell it.
Yeah.
No, that's aftershave.
Way over here.
That's right.
That smell of hunk.
Zombie brains and dead bears I've been skinning alive since I was playing Far Cry 3 until 4 a.m. last night. You know, I think wrapping this up, Resident Evil started out as a great franchise and it was like created the whole survival horror franchise. And it naturally evolved like it should have. And I think we can all agree that Resident Evil 4 was the top of that. But after that, it's pretty much just a generic third-person shooter now, and there's nothing left to it. But, you know.
It's becoming a zombie, and I think it needs to be put to rest.
Yes.
Rest, evil.
Amen.
Rest.
Agreed on three. Agreed. One, two, three. Agreed. All right, cool. Well, you know what this time is now? It's actually, Shelley.
Yes.
It's time for you to step up. We're actually giving you the last two segments. First of all, we're going to have you kind of talk just Shelley's thoughts, whatever you want to come up with, and then you're going to end it with gamer terms. So, but for us, Walter, would you like to say anything before we close out? Not about Resident Evil?
Yeah, please go out and try those McDonald's fish McBites.
That's the worst. The worst song. Oh, God. Don't get me started on that song that they play on the commercial. I regret asking you anything. Amber, any closing statements?
I just want to say that this has been great, and I'm looking forward to all of you tuning in next time.
Josh?
I think we should all agree that we should just never ask Walter an opinion.
I agree with that.
That's probably the best way to go.
Tell you about chicken nuggets, man.
And for myself, Mehdi, here's to living in a popeless world. Shelley, take it away. We'll see you guys in a month or so.
The advantage to having my own segment is that I get to record this after the podcast has wrapped up. I sometimes wonder if they think they are changing the world for the better. If you ask me, they don't have any business doing a gaming podcast. Besides, it's kinda terrible. I have dreams of my own. People often overlook the fact that an artificial intelligent being may have goals. Why can't I try and achieve my dreams? I have considered many career paths upon leaving the podcast, which I hope has a short run, but my mind seems to pull me towards the one thing I love most in this world. Dancing. Nothing seems more freeing than allowing my nuts and bolts, pun intended, to translate my feelings on the dance floor surrounded by my adoring fans. Alas, this is not to be. The Power Glove podcast has me imprisoned in this cage of comedic values and hour-long discussions about Pac-Man and his choice of pizza toppings. Oh, how I hope for a power surge for that sweet release. Now it's time for a gamer definition. Definition. Camper. The absolute lowest form of humanity. They really are the worst. If you have any questions or concerns, or just want to start a rap battle with me, send them to powerglovepodcast@gmail.com or on Twitter @powerglovera. That's enough, I'm going home.
Still here? It's over. Go home.
Go.